probably playing. Slip, slide.
Destination
of the moon.
Right.
I know a woman. He came alive. These are the very refuses to describe her life. She said a good day ain't got a said a bad day is when I ain't there to think of things that I might have been.
Presence in my arms, a while is enough. I am her cradle, she trusts me this much. Only her hands bespeak her fear. Each one presses against me, confirming that I haven't yet left her. Fear I'll leave and never come back to her, forget how. Construct a locked door between us where one has never been. Reject me on her behalf. Somewhere else, a man with my face sits alone writing these words, while ungiven love corrodes in his veins. That man is writing about me because nothing in his own world matters as much. About him, Rebecca dreams. I'm losing all of this, Rebecca. I'm losing you and myself and my hope. It's breaking up. Do you trust me? Just say yes or no. She says, yes. Will you listen to me? Yes. She says, nothing now or ever is what it seems. The universe is real and illusory, funny and fake, but it's got an arm against your throat right now. Yes, I say. Ray, don't be fooled. Don't take assembled reality for anything more permanent. I'm lost. I really am. Help me. For me to help you, you will have to fill these pages. This is where I live, she says. Rebecca, in fiction, I found you and I've married you and we're going toward the next level, but I'm alone off the page. Ray, there's no use looking or not looking. You can't control events, you can only try and direct your flow conscientiously and with kindness. This isn't story, I say, it's psychotherapy, confession. It doesn't matter, you come this far, it means something. You can't give up now, you're closer. I was happy for about a day, I say, such a fucking tease, to have met your like and lost her so quickly. But you met her, right? She exists. You're fighting your happiness as much as chasing it. You don't deserve it, but it's long overdue. I nod. Rebecca wakes briefly and looks at me. Oh, she smiles. She nods. I keep holding her as she returns to slumber. She's no longer clutching me. I've achieved that much. Drifting off to sleep myself, I find I'm sitting in a bright-lit place writing down these words. I can understand how this man feels. His world seems gross, foul, without purpose nor goal. There is a thing that happens to him with pen and notebooks sometimes. This thing isn't happening tonight. His world is shiny, cold, and dull. His view of it is diminishing, too. Minutes pass. Perhaps diminishing isn't such a bad idea. Maybe the veil parts only when enough has been cast aside, till little but the veil remains. The dream dissipates, and I wake enough to find Rebecca in my arms, awake now, frisky, kissing my wrists and fingers, and other parts of me she can reach without squirming too much. Eventually, I will have to let something resembling a story onto these pages. I don't want to. Something has to happen, doesn't it, I say? My muse smiles at me and shrugs. My job is to pose and smile pretty, mister. And laughs her way off the bed. There, a little action, something like a plot moment. She stays on the floor but reaches up for my hand. Chase less, flow more, she says. I don't know how to flow. I don't chase very well either. Mostly I splash clumsily around, making no progress. That's not true, she says. It's not true at all, Ray. The hand that was warmly holding mine of a sudden pulls hard, meaning to carry me off the bed. After a moment's resistance, I let myself be pulled. I drag blankets with me and pull them atop us. More and more things keep happening here, she giggles. I listen to her breathing, to her heartbeat, stroke her shoulder blades in the blanket dim. Her softness and warmth is a constant. I have to remember this. You're soft too, she says. Rebbe, when we're apart, I hope you draw and paint like crazy. Silence. She says, I don't need to be apart from you to do that. Good, I say. Something slides from one place to another, fits rightly among seamlessness. A breath, a word, fingers, the universe privately reimagined, a readiness beyond waiting, birdsong, sunshine, the veils are disavowed, concordance in all creation, evolved by staying still, the day of bitch, the night of beauty, the room ablaze with laughter, touch, simple, complex, nothing irrelevant, everything diminishes, something remains and remains, something bright remains. There's something we must do here, Rebecca. I tell her, saying nothing, something toward which you and I have been hurling all of our lives, something whereby we will never be parted again. Even more so, you are ready, I am ready, easy as laughter, potent as laughter, gestating from laughter, my girl now and always, my girl, my nymph, my wife, my muse, my artist forever, love, continuous sunrise, love, sugar and persistence. I couldn't before this, before now, but now I'm certain as a man must be to think of himself staying on in any form after his own demise, release, and so thinking this way now, able finally to do this, I am ready, you are ready. The room is quiet, all is good. Love not harbor but open sea. Love both stars and the distances between. Love full of light, here and now, more, more, heavy with light, heavy, my love. Yes, there is in what cannot be seen a potency, a power, a real. One needs to listen between the notes, or otherwise derange, but what is visible is most certainly grounded in a present elsewhere. She starts laughing again, so I leave off this foolishness and hold her wordless. Okay, but teach me how you do it, I say. What? Love without mirrors and trails of exhaust. You can't, you do. Listen to me, she says. What's the secret that covers me but I can't quite grasp? She's quiet but breathing, heartbeat, and so I listen to this. I listen to mine own and marvel at how syncopation is natural, rhythms in this universe. Ray, sorry. She starts laughing again to explain. What do I do now? Rebecca, you gave up a lot to be with me. You gave up more, she says. I say nothing. Ray, I say nothing. Tell me. She's in my arms, sitting in my lap, our blanket tight around us, still dark outside. Her love for me is steady. That's how she is with everyone she cares about. Her head resting against my chest raises when I don't speak. No, no. Shh, I urge her head to rest again. Tell me, she repeats. Rebecca, there's so much I don't care about anymore. So much in my world recurs until it is dull and stupid. But this story, this world, it matters. Not to anyone else in my world, not really, not anymore. But to me, it's so important. That's good, isn't it? Till the bastards come for me, or even better, just take my art. Rebecca warms steadily till I seem to be jacked into the sun itself. I calm and heal a little. Keep your legs moving, isn't that what you always said? You always say, she says. Yes, and I'm trying. Her heat levels off, feeds me steadily. We won't let you stop. Who? She remains quiet, beating me. Who? The room darkens further, and then slowly lights up with stars. Our room is somewhere ungrounded in the cosmos. I can no longer perceive of us as mortal or corporeal, but I do know Rebecca is very near to me. Whatever she is, whatever I am, we twined close, we are twined close still, just like back in that bedroom. Rebecca. She doesn't answer, but I know she's with me fully. It's just the beginning, then. Opening pages of what will be hundreds, I wager, will travel with me, a glow nobody else sees, almost nobody anyway. I tell Rebecca we must depart each other from Lunatee's Cafe. There isn't anywhere else possibly, possible. Really, she, possible really. She agrees, though doesn't move to let me up for a long time. Late afternoon, and we are starting to get ready to go. Rebecca wants me to dress her, slowly, and I remember once ago, many times, maybe, dressing my lady lover doesn't seem very important. So I lift her, So I lift her up from among our nest of blankets and settle her on the edge of the bed, where she slouches, smirking at me. No tricks, I say. You're sitting there, trying to decide how to sabotage this. If you make it fun enough, I won't have to, she glints. Frisky muse. Neither of us clothed, so it should be easy enough to build her from the foundations, right? Bloody hell. I decide to tell her a story with each piece of clothing I attach to her. Start with socks. I rustle up two clean pink ankle socks from the dresser, and sitting on the floor against the bed between her legs, I gingerly reach for a foot. And am denied success, the feet kick up a giggling fuss, and my head is damped with kisses. I am hugged most fiercely until I say, if you will settle down, these socks come with a story. She settles, slowly, with spasms of rambunctiousness, but like any good nymph, her curiosity bests her. These socks are from different dimensions from our own. Each has come from places that could not coexist with each other, but both can exist here. Diminishing in age rapidly, Reb laughs quite wide-eyed at this report. I continue more slowly. What's curious to me is what would happen if you perchance found yourself in one of these dimensions. She squeals with laughter and kicks and stomps and bounces, but her socks are neat on, and there she allows them to stay. Each foot weighty in my hand, a small but substantial sum of blood and bone shaped in curves, curves within curves, curve complementing each other, warm as I study them and clean each toenail, unlike my own ragged numbers. Clean and pinkly clear for a moment, calm and I peruse each foot, the dimples and lines in the heft. Here is good girl foot, a pair. Rebecca starts to thrash, so I conclude my tail, slipping socks on snugly. Much better than her. Sorry. Clothing a woman's hips, stowing away her primary flame, this where society begins, where deception and myth and symbol begins. Watch culture smugly wrap around the loin covering, and see polity devise rules and sanctioned customs for uncovering. A field now fenced, a star named, a world divided into sensation, interpretation, and memory. Going to the dresser drawers, opening the one containing her panties, I see each one as cloak and lie. White cotton elastic, but damned if I'll acquiesce so it easily. I sit down again on the floor between her legs, and right on the crotch of her these panties, in black pen. Within, contents I love. Within, my seed gestates. Within, truth and dream. Within, fire and renewal. Rebecca leans against me, arms draped loosely over my shoulders, reading from behind. I hold the panties up for her to inspect, and she says nothing but hugs me more tightly than I thought of capable. I twist around and dip her feet into the panty leg holes. She allows this calmly, even lays back agreeably as I begin to shimmy them up her hips, but at some point begins to fall back on the bed, pulling me with her until she is on her back and I above her, the progress of the panties halted by her hands gripping my wrists tightly. No, she says simply. Rebecca, it's okay. You saw what I wrote. No. I have to do something. A lack, an imbalance, and Rebecca will not continue. Another story? She nods somberly. A good one. I lay down beside her, and our blankets appear and cover us again. Becca snuggles against me, breathing me in and out, patient, a wait of 5 minutes or a century, no difference to her. In blanket darkness, my hands find the greatest roundness of her hips, just above where her panties stalled on the way up. You're built with curves, Rebbe. Every part of you. It's wonderful. I see the universe in you, how reality, the cosmos, are the stuff of waves and circles, twinings inward and outward, the flow of music in and among itself. My hands reach a little and cup her ash cheeks tight and round. These are beautiful, they explain so much to me. And now my hands snake between her thighs, fingers friendly but marauding. Yes, and hear what you didn't want covered, more important. Inhale, exhale, there, that's good. Her mouth wetly savagely kissing my face, tonguing into my throat as my fingers continue to query and explain past moan and sweat and spasm. We know the answer, Rebecca, don't we? She chews on my cheek, my earlobe, and nods wildly close to my face. We know, and when we can, we tell, right? She leaves nothing back. No one will be apart, loving me savagely beyond what I am doing for her right now. She leaves nothing back and will not let me stop until she is inert with exhaustion. I am a little chewed, a little bitten, not at, pleased, waiting a bit before continuing. Rebecca lets me crawl from our continually renewing a nest and step over to the bureau again, this time in search of a brassiere. A lower drawer contains a heap of them, and I test them out around my own far too large chest, hearing giggles back from among the covers. Pink socks, white panties, which color now? I mumble and select a powder blue number with a sheeply low-cut V-neck. Are those the right words to describe it? I've always held personal animosity against brassieres. They appear like harnesses to me, distasteful in a way panties simply aren't. Beneath covers again, I simply can't harness her breasts immediately. They are too beautiful to cover. Instead, my tongue and fingertips roam their softness and heat for a long time, velvety and firm, real to me in a way few things are anymore. Eventually, I chase slowly around to her back, shoulder blades and shoulders making her squirm and laugh, but seriously pursuing my why, my feeling of floating right now, hugging her from behind, my hands wrapped around to her chest, each grasping the breast restlessly, provocatively. I'm floating too, Raymond, she whispers, near inaudibly, calling me by my given name, feels perfect, spake by her low, sweet voice. Eventually she helps me put the harness on her breasts and tells me they're so throbbing with my touch you can hardly feel them. Feel, Brazier. I'm gonna fight with my voice to the end of this one. Among blankets, I stumble into another dream. In it, I'm writing a story, one more like I used to write, with an effort at plot, coherence, form, and structure. I'm hunched somewhere over a table in some coffee joint, likely going page after page, with my Walkman pumping good music, hard into my brain, let's say Doors' greatest hits, and I'm working occasionally off several pages of notes, just enough to keep me going. I can see the story unfolding, expanding really, and I'm excited, looking ahead to when I will read it to friends at some gathering and there will be whoops and cries. Raymond, Ray, please. I wake and my face is soaked with crying and I'm holding Becca so tight she is whimpering. I let her go though she doesn't move away from me, use the tissue to dry my eyes and cheeks and waits in that deeply fond way of hers. I can't go back, Rebbe. I know that. Sometimes I don't know what I'm doing now, but I just can't go back. Oh, it's okay, she says. I'm quiet now, calm, but my intensity remains. I don't know how I got from there to here, but this is where I am now. There isn't any choice but to press ahead. I'm with you, Ray, it's okay. I can't keep starting the story hoping it will be like the others. Here it is, it's begun. Can I dress you now? Eager and hungry, she asks. I'm not done with you. Oh, good, she cries, pleased, a puppy, a woman, my wife. Sometimes I find it hard to write about you, Rebecca. Why? You're a dream. You're real. I sit here looking at your dark blue eyes, watching them float and hover and drown. I don't know what to say or even why. You have to write about me, Ray. I do? Yes, it's how you believe in me the most. I nod. She knows. She's good. She likes me. It's okay. It's really okay. The jeans I pull over her legs are a fading blue, flare slightly at the cuffs. They're soft and fit her easily. We're not thrashing with each other anymore. She strokes my arm, my hair, my cheek lightly, and I kiss her as lightly on shin, knee, thigh, belly, and I draw these jeans on. You're my muse now and always. Yes, replies the other. She wants to wear one of my t-shirts, won't have another, so I find my black t-shirt from the saloon in North Beach, San Francisco. The Baramante urged me to find back when I first tripped west in 95. And I did in sunlight, swilling cheap bruise all afternoon long to Sinatra tunes on the jukebox, a hole of a bar, fucking grand, and on my gorgeous wife, this shirt is the absolute shit. And alas, she is dressed, but glory be, she is more beautiful than ever. Then I remember I'm still nude. My turn, Rebecca says gleefully, and topples me back on the bed. I wait patiently to see what she'll do. Close my eyes for a moment, forgetting where and when, how, just happy, vaguely aware she is bustling in drawers till she discovers that most of my few clothes are in a blue laundry basket in a corner of the room. I hear her laugh. I hear her laugh and bustle. I love her more until I forget the moment. Here is happiness, smiling forgetfulness. Glowing, floating, smiling, loving, alive, neither old nor young. Up nor down, in nor out, poor nor rich, beyond, below, beneath the varieties of everything is nothing, a hard void I've seen and been terrified, but beyond that, something too, as real and as illusory as this world around us. Ray, are you all right? I'm fine, Becca. I love you, I love this, I love now, everything's okay. Way better than okay, she says. Yes, I love you too, she says. Yes, good. Can I dress you now? Can you kiss me first? Okay. leaving into my arms everyone I've ever wanted, that person, that one, she, yes, here she is. Rebecca dresses me carefully, gently, flinches when I'm tickled, laugh, her mood calm, proprietary, strange. Rebbe? Yes, she says after lightly kissing its crown. She's tucked my privates inside white briefs. Stop, I say. What? Just stop, I say softly. Nothing's wrong, but you're not jolly like before. She looks all over my face. I know. Is something wrong, I ask? I don't know. We sit on the edge of the bed now, turned toward each other, holding hands, fingertips. Ray, somehow we have to let the world back in. I know, Rebecca. No, she says, and stops. What, I ask. My world and yours aren't the same. I know that, I say. You have a hard time with your own, so you come here to play and escape. Yes, I say, but it's serious play. I don't even know if it's escape, or maybe I don't want it to be anymore. Yes, she says, again stops. Rebecca resumes dressing me, quietly at first, but then humming, softly, then singing. Okay, tell me if you know this one. I know you know it. Tell me if you know how to play it. To lead a better life, I need my love to be here. Yeah. Making each day of the year. That's a beautiful song. It's one of my favorite Beatles songs. I now have a purpley red tie-dye shirt on, black corduroys. She brushes my hair and nails on hers, still humming and singing. It's taken so long to get ready, but here we are, and there is about our conjoined spirit something again profound and light, serious and smiling. It's okay, all this. This mysterious this. Then there's a door to our bedroom, again, open, and a voice again says, light in Georgia girl accent, you making babies in there, or can we come in? Actually, the answer is both. In case that passage was too obscure before, Rebecca's pregnant. Well, described as metaphorically as I was capable of. I look at Rebbe, who smiles and says, it's getting to be like a real story, isn't it? There are Franny and Rich smiling, and Rebecca's happy to see them, of course, wanting to drag us all into bed together to play. And I'm happy, too. And this is strange. I look at Americans with whom I've had an inconsistent friendship at best, and we are smiling at each other like brothers, each of us thinking him too, happy to see me. And yes, it's true. And there's blonde, purple-eyed Franny, whom I've always loved, who is my gift to Americans for all the years of woe and bullshit.
Oh, I took down some water.
Oh. And now I think, was his Rebecca his gift to me for all those same years of woe and bullshit? Wow, a likely truth. What now, Soulard? He asks. A good question. I don't know. There is no advice for me. Just instinct and music. Just a hustling of the invisible for clues to queries I don't know in new and different and deeper ways from ago. I'm getting better at ignorance or maybe worse at knowledge. Not knowing till nothing left has a name. I don't know till memory itself revealed to be the queer thing it is. I don't know. Raymond. Her voice freezes me. I'm sorry, Rebbe. She smiles and swings my hand around friendly. Americus looks at me more closely. Do you know at all what happens next? Curious, no rancor. I have ideas, I say, metaphors, conceits. I don't know any more than usual. How about any less? Maybe, I say softly, mere shame. You'll work it out, Ray. You always do, says Franny, soft and smiling. Rebecca's look at me is proprietorial. He's okay. He's tired. Ray, we can let you sleep for a while. No. They all jump. Don't leave without me. I probably shouldn't be left alone in this world. They nod. Rebecca takes me by the wrist and leads me into the living room. Rich and Franny follow. We settle in the living room, Rich in his old chair by the window, acoustic strumming so he can listen to me better. Franny and Rebecca entwined on the couch, high and happy and delicious, and me walking around, hands tossing words, jam, jam, jamming. I say we need to lunge forward, it's the only way. We need to burn down the unnecessary and reinvent the rest. There isn't any other way. We're traveling on the fuel of my lingual elixir. Whether I like this or not, it's true. Rich receives my words, staring intensely at twined muses, reclining, and flings back at me showers of notes to rile me higher, further my plunge. It's about now and about breaking now the fuck down, I say. It's about space and its false tyranny. It's about what language can do when it most nakedly rides the cosmic music. It's about furled animus and coiled anima and how to trade the raw for the restrained, crescendo for muteness, fire for street lamp, freedom for safety. I stop, listen again as Americus's hands blur and bloody his strings, chaotic shimmers of notes. I settle among soft muses that curl around me and learn that each of my hands desires to settle on warm, fecund belly. Softer now, I say, the cosmos always birthing, always seeding, each of us part of this process, all the time unleashed potency. Americus follows me into silence, speaking sad sounds with his fingers, but leaving other curious, lingering, hopeful ones. Silence and stillness for a long time. Lunatese Cafe, it starts there like always, I say. And my band, America says. Yes, I say. And Cement Park, I say. I nod. America's, there needs to be more power. He nods. More power, Ray? Franny, smiling, wanting a taste soon. Forget she's my mother-in-law now, or something. No gives a fuck. How, Rebecca asks. I guess it's up to me. Better lingual elixir. Rebecca untangles me from benign twine to get wifely soulmate in my face. I'm not going to lose you in all this, she says flatly. No, of course not. You're mine and I'm yours. There's no other way, okay? I smile at her, almost a smack, though not intended. Of course, Rebby. Then I go for several of her tickling spots. At once lands us on the floor, and after several beats and a gesture, Franny dive in. Yes, true, this, I know not, I know now tonight, forever as good a moment like this can get. The day is sunny and warm-cheeked, good for any kind of dancing available, and here I am with my fictional kin walking down Main Street of Hartford. The moment flutes and swirls. Could I tell any back there on that train on which someone resembling me rides how gone daddy beautiful this is? Come on, the world pulses with its secrets and puzzles. Say again, I've learned. This cosmos is good, fine. This cosmos is perfect, without being just. Justice is man-invented noise, created to rationalize human cruelty to human. Justice is a scroll of fears and selfishness, badly guised as virtue and truth. Justice is no more valid, nor existent than bad dreams, bad acid trips. Franny smiles at Rebecca, guiding my blindly scribbling form down the sunny street. He's come a long way since when I met him. Raymond! I look up and Rebecca has stepped in front of me to keep me from stumbling directly into the steps leading up to Cement Park. Thanks, Rebby, I say. She smirks and takes my hand. Cement Park, here I am again. Here we are again. Now a new character appears. And this new character says to me, took you a while. I've been learning a lot lately. Are you surprised to see me a little bit? No, I say, it's been too long. You seem calm, no fear why I'm here. I serve you ultimately, I say, but to do that there has to be at least some meaning, a little happiness in my life, a little light to write by. Mary Muse smiles, gorgeous red-haired piece. The others appear to be missing, but I know where they are. I slurp them up safely into my mind, way the fuck deep in my mind. I can feel Rich's annoyance, Franny's curiosity, Rebecca's love. Tell me, I say. Are you sure she has? Yes, I'm busy. Learning, right, she says? Yes. Mary dresses in the bougival pink gown with red trimming, her bonnet red with purple grape to top it, her red hair straying out, her blue eyes looking powerfully but uncertainly at me. You really haven't learned much yet, she says. I know, more danger, more happiness, fears mounted atop the carriage of my mind, the whole thing devilishly precarious. More than that, she says. What, Mary, what? She sits on one of the round cement bases, each nesting a tree scattered around the park. She sits heavily. What if you had to make a choice, she says. What choice? Between an end to loneliness and me. There is no choice. Can you be sure? Are you sure? Rebecca, I say. Where once stood, the other now stands. Rebecca, my wife, my muse, smirking at me, worried too, drawing my expression into her mind. In her mind. I say there is no choice to be made between the end to loneliness and art. You are both. You're my choice. She nods, kisses my cheek. Raymond, she dew breathes into my ear. Rich and Franny return. Rich's only direct comment is, I'm glad she's after you this time. They continue on to Lundy's Cafe. Rebby and I sit together in Cement Park, a new bench uncoated with patina. We sit and hold hands. We bark and meow. Mary Muse didn't come to annoy me or even tease me, really. And I guess that's never her purpose, even if her personality makes me think so. She came to warn what future pages may come to contain, what risk, what hope. The danger of undifferentiation, of all flowing into all, of increasing infiltration, of stories hardly stories anymore, of lives living more and more in faith and innocence. Rebecca scampers off to draw among some luring shadows. I watch her happily make her art, which can still be enjoyed, and I think of where I am, where going, no fears anymore, just faith and innocence. What to fear anymore, Mary? Much. What to hope for, Mary? All. What left to lose, Mary? The rest. How much hope should I have, Mary? She won't answer anymore. I wait and wait. Rebecca comes back with her pad closed up. Will show me her new work later, smiling. Right now she is balm. She is love. She is laughter. She keeps digging me up as I keep trying to bury myself. Happiness, no limits. Fear on all sides. End.
Certain songs came to mind when I was kind of like, you know, 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover.
And as of last week, I've begun a new story called Two Vessels.
That was Two Vessels.
Yeah, this is about the fourth thing called Two Vessels. Oh. All my stories are titled Two Vessels these days.
Oh, okay.
Remember when everything was called New Period for a while? And everything's called Two Vessels.
I am Daryl. This is my brother Daryl. This is my other brother Daryl.
Right.
Larry Daryl.
Oh,
slip sliding away, slip sliding away. You know that any destination, the more you slip sliding away. I don't wanna be anymore. These are the very words she uses to describe her life. She said, "A good day. Ain't got no rain." She said, "A bad day's when I better think of things that might have been." Slip sliding away, slip sliding away. You know the nearer your destination, the more you slip sliding away. I don't care. My hometown. He wore his passion for his woman like a thorny crown. He
He said, Dolores, I live in fear. My love for you is overpowering. I'm afraid that I will disappear. Slip sliding away. Slip sliding away. You know the near your destination, the more you slip sliding away. And I know a father who had a son. He longed to tell him all the reasons for the things he'd done. He came a long way just to explain. He kissed his boy as they lay sleeping, and he turned around and headed home again. Slip sliding away. Slip sliding away. You don't know the new destination, the more you slip sliding away. God only knows. God makes his plan. The information's unavailable to the mortal man. We're working our jobs, collecting our pay. Believe we're gliding down the highway, when in fact we're slip sliding away. Slip sliding away. Slip sliding away. You know the near your destination, the more you slip sliding away.
Like I said, I'm
trying
to hit the notes lately, so it's...
Yeah.
That's, yeah,
it works.
Yes, sir.
When you see him at the subway, he'll be down at the end of the car. Watching you move until he knows you know that you are. When you get off at your subway station,
song, which I've been playing lately. I've been trying to get a lot of my tunes together, though, too. Too drunk to play them right now. Anyway.
Oh, man. Can you smoke too? It's that ugly looking gun.
This is going to be a challenge to smoke this, so... Maybe we'll get a...